extracts information from documents and turns them into what we call our interactive summary flashcard format. So it breaks the information down and chunks it into sections and lets you sort of progressively work your way through and expand and collapse and see different aspects of the document, so providing multiple views.
Welcome to AI for Pharma Growth, the podcast from pioneering pharma artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all those in biopharma, from startup biotech right through to big pharma. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech related to help pharma execs to navigate through the and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow and get real-world results.
Today's episode is how pharma can use AI to create accurate summaries of documents. Especially in pharma areas such as medical affairs, keeping up with the latest research. I mean, if you think about oncology alone, there's around 5,000 new articles every week. It's very difficult. And then you've got reports, white papers, company documents. And so just skimming an abstract really doesn't give you the depth of knowledge you need to know whether that's going to be a useful article or not. Today, I'm with Phil Gooch, who's the founder of Scholacy, who have used AI to create a way to really speed up summarizing huge quantities of information reliably and fairly accurately. Thank you for coming on the show, Phil.
Thanks, Andrea. Great to be here.
Can we start with you telling me a little bit about your background and how you got into this and how you actually came up with the idea and founded Scholacy?
Sure. So I'd been working for various companies over the years, developing text processing pipelines. So I suppose in the early days, you could call this AI, but it was mostly kind of rule-based systems to transform or extract information from documents. And I'd been working for different publishing companies in the sort of legal, medical sort of area. And then later on, I was working for a couple of startups in health tech, for example. And then I went back to university after a long gap and did a PhD to sort of learn a bit more about this stuff. And I was particularly interested in the problem of extracting information from medical documents and things like discharge summaries and medical notes and linking them to clinical guidelines. And I realized as a sort of late returner to full-time education that I hadn't really got to grips with reading the primary research literature. Previously, as an undergraduate, you know, you're kind of spoon-fed. You're given textbooks and chapters to read, and you're kind of spoon-fed the information to a degree. And I wasn't really used to reading research papers, and I wish I'd had something that really helped me understand this kind of style of writing and how to actually extract the information and read it efficiently. And my problem wasn't really finding information. I'd downloaded hundreds of papers I had on my hard drive. It was just sort of sorting them and distilling them and reading them and coming up with some kind of synthesis and, you know, writing a literature review and so on. So I kind of put that problem to bed for a while. And then after I did my PhD, I went to work for a few more startups. But I always had this idea, it'd be nice to solve this problem. And then back in 2018, I found myself in a position to actually be able to do that. I kind of acquired enough skills in AI and machine learning and the engineering side to sort of build a prototype that tried to solve this problem. And that's kind of how it came about, really.
So I often see that actually with founders. It's solving a problem they have themselves. You see that a lot. So can you tell us a little bit about Scholacy? You know, what does it do? Can you just go into a bit more information about it?
I mean, the main aspect of it is what it does is it extracts information from documents and turns them into what we call our interactive summary flashcard format. So it breaks the information down and chunks it into sections and lets you sort of progressively work your way through and expand and collapse and see different aspects of the document, so providing multiple views. And then that's all combined into this application called Scholacy Library, which is like a document management system where you can subscribe to feeds from publishers, connect it to your reference manager, connect it to your Dropbox or your Google Drive and pull in documents, and then it distills them for you and you can search and export into different formats. So, for example, if you want to create a literature matrix from all your documents and see them side by side, see how the study participants stack up across studies, for example, you can do that.
So tell me, does it go online to specific databases, or how does it find the information? What data is it searching? Can you point it towards places?
Don't point it to databases as such, although there is an aspect of the product that does that, which we can talk about in a bit. Okay. But the actual library application, which you can think of as a bit like a document management system or a reference manager, mm-hmm. you can upload documents. So you can drag and drop folders from your hard drive. You can pull in documents from your Google Drive.
Yeah.
Or you can subscribe to RSS feeds. So a number of publishers and journals have a feed where you subscribe, and it just every time there's new documents published in that area, those documents will be pulled into your library and distilled into this summary format. So that's the way some people use it. The other way that some people use it is they've kind of licensed our core engine, and they've deployed it on their own servers, and they've integrated it with their own systems, which might then be connected to a database, and that pulls in documents and feeds the data back into their database. And we have a couple of customers doing it that way.
Ah, I can think of a client of mine that would like to do that, because they've got one system, they're putting all their data into it, which has so much data. So I'm sure that actually connecting what you've got to their original data repository would be amazing. And then you can link that to others as well?
You could. I mean, that would require some development, internal development on the client side. So, yeah, they would basically license our engine, which is like an API, if you like. And that can be hosted on their own servers if they want it completely enclosed. Yeah. Or we can host it for them in the cloud or on a private network.
Yeah.
And then they can have their development team then just, you know, integrate with that and do the development they need to do, the different post-processing and pre-processing to connect it to their own systems.
Yeah, I see with pharma a lot that because of we're so heavily regulated and privacy is so important, they often do tend to do it on their own internal systems.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
But how are you on the privacy and security side if they did use a private cloud, for example?
Well, we do everything on SOC 2 compliant infrastructure. So we use AWS and we meet or exceed all their sort of security requirements.
Yeah.
We have regular sort of penetration testing and auditing on that as well.
Yeah.
But as I say, we can take that kind of engine or image, if you like, of the software, and then they can host it on their own system, and then they can obviously then have their own sort of compliance. None of that data would actually leave their network at all. When it's hosted in the cloud, obviously that there's information being processed to and from across the internet.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. And so what about the features? So you can upload, it can go online, it can do both online and uploading. So does it you can summarize all the information, so you can say out of this lot, what's the summary of what's going on? What other sorts of things does it do?
Yeah, so it doesn't do multiple document summarization, except when you kind of have this kind of matrix that shows stuff side by side.
Okay.
But effectively, yeah, it's taking documents in pretty much any format. So that could be a PDF, Word, PowerPoint, could be web pages, it could be plain text, CSV files of listing of URLs and so on. It takes all that information. And then it basically reads it and structures it and distills it into different types of summary. So rather than just giving you a single summary, it gives you different views. So it might say, well, give me a summary about what's going on with the study participants. You know, how many were there? Who were they? What's their gender and sort of makeup, demographic makeup? And then what sort of things were done with that data? How was that data processed? How were they divided into groups and so on? Then another summary might tell you, like, how does this study compare with previous work? Does this study confirm previous findings, or does it contrast with previous findings? And it gives you links so you can actually go and verify that. So if a paper
says, good part,
so if our study says, like, our findings confirm the result of Smith et al 2016, you can actually go and check that is the case and compare the result with the findings of that paper that they've cited.
Yeah, I think that's a really important part after we've seen some of the failings with ChatGPT in that area. So it's really nice that you can then go and see exactly where it's come from and, you know, have that transparency.
The verification is important, Everything is connected back to the original document as well. So you can see, I mean, it's extracting information. It's not paraphrasing. It's, you know, it's pulling stuff directly and then just showing it you know, in different views of the information, so that you're not having to scroll through, you know, dozens of pages of a PDF. You've got that in this expandable and collapsible flashcard format.
Okay. And I did see, I think, that it extracts tables and things like that as well. Does it do that?
Yeah, so for the figures from the PDF from the web page, you've got those with the captions, so you can export those separately if you want, just see that. I know when people read academic studies, often they go straight to the figures and want to see what's going on there. So you can pull those out and blow those up full screen so you can see them in a much bigger format than you might, you know, in a two-column PDF layout, for example.
Yeah.
And then the tables you can be extracted to Excel.
Yeah.
So if you want to do some further analysis or aggregate them into your own spreadsheets, you can do that as well.
Oh, okay. So that's very interesting. So you could, if you were creating a dossier of some sort and you had specific sections, you could say to this tool, okay, give me all there is on the unmet burden of disease of this particular condition. And could it then go and search everything and come up with
that would be nice, wouldn't it? No, it doesn't quite do that. So it does. There is, in Scholarly Library, there is a search engine that goes and searches this repository called OpenAlex, which has about 200 million research papers. About half of those are open access, and then you can pull those into your library. But it's not like a question answering application where you can say, oh, you know, give me all the studies about this topic and it will find them and distill them for you. Yeah, it kind of assumes you've got those papers somewhere and then you upload them and you're doing that kind of systematic analysis side by side, and it will extract the data for you. So, yeah, you might want to see, I want to show all these 100 studies, show me the participants side by side so you can see when the study had 23 participants, whereas this one had like 400, for example, so you can compare the statistical power of those different studies.
If you've got the data already in there and you say, out of these ones, I'd like you to summarize what it's saying in this particular aspect, it could do that?
That's something we're working on at the moment. At the moment, it summarizes one by one and then gives that in a table results.
So
give me the contributions of all these papers or the main findings, and you can see that. Then the next step would be then to synthesize that into an overall paragraph. Yeah, we're not quite at that stage yet, but that's the next thing.
That's in the plan.
Yeah,
I think that would be amazingly helpful to a lot of people in pharma. For sure.
There are some tools, other tools that do this as well.
Yeah.
That's quite a sort of common use case if you want
to. Absolutely. And so who's using it now? Who would your main clients be?
It's quite a wide variety. So we have a lot of masters and PhD students using it to help with their literature review. People, again, who in my position, you know, 10 years ago, who were maybe returning to education or maybe weren't familiar with the academic literature. A lot of international students whose first language isn't English, because we pull out and simplify and chunk the information, make it a bit easier to read. We do have people in pharma using it. Research teams at pharma companies use it in a bit like they would a reference manager, for example.
Okay.
And we do have companies using our engine that they're deploying on their own services, on their own servers, to then pull out and integrate it with their own systems.
Yeah. And I did see a quote from someone from British Medical Journal saying how they were very impressed with the speed and the accuracy. How are you getting it so accurate?
That was a specific project where they needed to extract structured metadata from several hundred thousand papers, which only existed as scanned PDFs. So they had to be OCR'd, and then the text had to be cleaned up, and then they wanted to extract all the bibliographic information from those papers and have them connected together. So we did that it was a sort of multi-step process. We took their data that they gave us access to. We trained a model that could learn to extract this specific information that they wanted. And then we iterated on that. It was a sort of few rounds where they sort of helped us correct the data. And then we wrote some additional processing routines and gradually got it up to this sort of level of a sort of mid-90s sort of level of accuracy.
And so it sounds like there's multiple ways people can use this. So do you have like software as a service kind of on your website where people can use it? Do they log in there, or how does it work?
Yeah, there's like a free version where you can just upload a document and get a summary flashcard of that and get it broken down. And you can then export that to Word and PowerPoint and other formats. And then you can sign up to the software as a service called Scholacy Library, which is a cloud-based document management system where you can bulk upload hundreds or even thousands of documents and have those processed for you. And also then subscribe to a feed. They're the two main ways that people use the system.
And then people can also get you to, or work with you to make it an API that goes into their own
We are more of a product company rather than a service company, but we do have an API that people can license and then they can do that. We have done a little bit of customization, but it's pretty much kind of, this is what it does. This is the data structures it gives you. And then you can then take that data and then on your side do some development to then post-process that or integrate that if you want. We can give you some help on that, but basically, you know, the API is kind of this box that you get access to, and then any extra development you need, you can do yourselves as a bespoke thing.
Yeah. And so what kind of, I saw that the British Medical Journal woman being very happy. What kind of other things do people say? Is it very much kind of about time saving, do you think?
Yeah, that's the most thing. So if you've got to trawl through a lot of documents and review which ones are relevant or not relevant, for example, people say that it saves them maybe up to 70% of the time that it would take them. Other things where we have a group of users, which is quite different to the case we were talking about previously, but group of users who have dyslexia, for example, or other neurodiverse conditions. And then the use case there is being overwhelmed with information. So, you know, when you have certain types of neurodiverse conditions like ADHD, when you see a document on the page, you find it hard to separate the wheat from the chaff and see you know, the wood from the trees, if you like.
Yeah.
And so our software helps say, look, actually, these are the important bits you need to focus on. These are the important bits. And that people find that very, very useful. And that's been sort of one of our sort of growth areas recently. So it's that time saving. It's that understanding. It's that gaining those insights that, you know, those sort of needle in the haystacks that might otherwise be hard to identify manually.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, amazing. Very, very interesting. If anyone listening wants to find out more about this, you can go to Scholacy, which is scholarcy.com, and get to see more on the website, and you can contact Phil there as well. So thank you so much for your time today. Really interesting, and congratulations. Amazing tool.
Thanks very much, Andrea. Good to talk to you.
You too.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Pharma Growth. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your company, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating. Please make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.